You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
I'm sure you know about the Delta variant of coronavirus, but have you heard about a Delta robot? Well, Indonesia has one. Tune into this COVID fight podcast on CNBCTV18.com to find out more. This is your host Kanishka Sarkar, bringing you top developments on the pandemic from India and around the world. But before we talk more about the services of this robot in pandemic times, here's a look at India's infection tally as of August 11th. The country saw a single day spike of over 38,000 new cases. The daily death toll, which was close to 500, was also higher than the previous day. However, the active cases were at a 140-day low with 3.8 lakh active cases. On the vaccination front, sources have told CNBC TV 18 that the Drugs Controller General of India has given its nod for conducting a study on the mixing of doses of Covaxin and Covishield. On August 8th, a study by ICMR involving 98 people, 18 of whom had inadvertently received the Covishield as first dose and Covaxin as second in Uttar Pradesh, showed that the combining of these two vaccines elicited better immunogenicity than two doses of the same vaccine. Next up, Himachal Pradesh has made it compulsory for anyone visiting the state to carry a negative COVID report or full vaccination certificate starting August 13th. The state's chief secretary, Ram Subhag Singh, said, and I quote, "The situation of COVID-19 in the state has been reviewed. It is observed that the number of COVID-19 active cases and positivity rate are increasing in the state and the situation is still precarious." Unquote. Moving on, a new mutation mapping tool has been developed that could yield stronger COVID boosters and universal vaccines. Researchers have developed a platform that can quickly identify common immune escape mutations of the COVID virus and suggest which antibodies are going to be effective against the circulating strains. The research may pave way for universal vaccines for not only COVID but also potentially for influenza, HIV and other deadly global viruses. The study's lead author said, and I quote, "We have developed a predictive tool that can tell you ahead of time which antibodies are going to be effective against circulating strains of virus." Unquote. Have you ever wondered how COVID vaccines will work on compromised immune systems? Well, here's what we know so far. In many cases, vulnerability to COVID-19 exists because a person's immune system is unable to mount a good response against the virus. Such people are said to be immunocompromised. It's possible that these people won't respond as well to COVID vaccines either. Immunocompromised people aren't a uniform group, and so they may respond to vaccines differently. For instance, one US study has found that people taking drugs that suppress their immune systems after having an organ transplant to stop organ being rejected appear to be hampered in their ability to generate antibodies after being vaccinated. The study found that over half of the immunocompromised people it looked at had generated no antibodies even after receiving two vaccine doses. The results of other studies, though, aren't quite so disheartening. Another piece of research found that immunosuppressed kidney transplant patients did respond somewhat to being given a dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, but they had a weaker antibody response than those with fully functioning immune systems. Moving on, here's a look at how COVID affects our brain. Scientists are becoming more and more concerned with the emergence of a syndrome termed long COVID, where a significant percentage of sufferers of COVID experience long-lasting symptoms. Studies suggest that symptoms remain for approximately 5 to 24% of confirmed COVID cases at least 3 to 4 months after infection. The risk of long COVID is no longer thought to be directly linked with either age or the initial severity of the COVID illness. So younger people and people with initially mild COVID can still develop long COVID symptoms. Some long COVID symptoms begin quickly and persist, while others appear well after the initial infection has passed. So how does the virus get to our brains? So there's evidence connecting respiratory viruses, including influenza, with brain dysfunction. Evidence from the SARS outbreak in 2002 and the MERS outbreak in 2012 suggests that these infections caused roughly 15 to 20% of recovered people to experience depression, anxiety, memory difficulties, and fatigue. There's no conclusive evidence that SARS-CoV-2 virus, which causes COVID, can penetrate the blood-brain barrier, which usually protects the brain from large and dangerous blood-borne molecules entering from the bloodstream. But there is data that suggests it may hitchhike into the brain by way of nerves that connect our noses to our brains. Researchers suspect this because in many infected adults, the genetic material of the virus was found in the part of the nose that initiates the process of smell, coinciding with this loss of smell experienced by people with COVID. How does COVID then damage the brain? These nasal sensory cells connect to an area of the brain known as the limbic system, which is involved in emotion, learning, and memory. In a UK-based study, researchers compared brain images taken of people before and after exposure to COVID. They showed that parts of the limbic system had decreased in size compared to people not infected. This could signal a future vulnerability to brain diseases and may play a role in the emergence of long COVID symptoms. Now, here's more on Indonesia's Delta robot. A homemade robot designed by Indonesian villagers and scientists for fun has found a new use during the pandemic. It brings food and hopefully a smile to self-isolating residents who have contracted COVID-19. An eclectic assembly of household items like pots, pans, and an old television monitor, it is now named the Delta robot, in a nod to the highly contagious variant of the coronavirus that has ripped through Indonesia. A neighborhood leader who heads the project said, and I quote, "With this new Delta variant and the surging number of cases, I decided to turn the robot into one used for public services such as to spray disinfectant, deliver food, and meet the needs of residents who are self-isolating," unquote. The robot's head is made from a rice cooker and it is operated by remote control with a 12-hour battery life. It is one of the several robots made in the village, which is one reputation for its creative use of technology. Well, that's all for now. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. If you have any suggestions, feedback, or have a question, please do write to us on cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. I repeat, that is cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. Stay tuned to cnbctv18.com for all the latest developments. Thank you and have a nice evening.